Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'm reading for you a couple of recent posts at evolutionnews.org by neurosurgeon Michael Agnor. He's responding to evolutionary biologist Jerry Coyne, who in a recent post on his blog Why Evolution is True, argues that since humans never evolved a divinity sense organ, God must not exist. Agnor takes a closer look at Coyne's reasoning, and then politely dismantles it. Enjoy. In my own conversion from atheism to Christianity, I was helped immensely by some unlikely evangelists. Atheists. I had been raised in a culture in which atheism seemed the smart way to think about metaphysics. Atheists were the scientists and the philosophers. Christians were the televangelists and the science deniers. When I actually engaged the arguments for and against God's existence, I was taken aback. The arguments for God's existence were strong, clear, and convincing. Thomas Aquinas, C.S. Lewis, and William Lane Craig made some very good points. The arguments against God's existence were weak, vague, and dubious. Richard Dawkins and his coterie of Darwinists and materialists recycled sophomoric tropes. Who made God? Why don't we see God in our telescopes? And the like. Try as I might, and I really tried, and still try, I couldn't find a credible argument against God's existence, and I found many very strong arguments for his existence. A shimmering example of atheist idiocy, there is no other word for it, is Jerry Coyne's recent argument at Why Evolution is True, against God's existence, in his post on David Attenborough's agnosticism. Attenborough, who is a Darwinist producer of nature films, quite good films, I must say, despite the Darwinist taint, was interviewed about his views on God. To Coyne's chagrin, Attenborough declares that he is agnostic about God's existence. Attenborough raises common objections to theism, such as the problem of evil, but he invokes a rather nice metaphor about a termite mound. He points out that termites, blind and busily working about the mound, are unaware of human observers. Their unawareness is not evidence that an observer doesn't exist. They lack the sense organs to perceive the observer. Attenborough says that is why he's agnostic. He doesn't sense that God exists, but perhaps that's because he lacks the capacity to know God. Says Attenborough, I do sometimes feel that maybe I'm lacking in some sense organ, and I don't know whether there's anyone else involved in all this sort of thing. And it's a very confident thing, saying that you're absolutely sure that there's nothing in this world that I don't have the sense organs to appreciate. That would be my position. Coyne hops on this. Of course, if a god wanted to make himself known to humans, he would have given them the sense organs to detect divinity. My goodness. In this one assertion, Coyne, culpably, and Attenborough, more innocently, betray a breathtaking ignorance. God is not a physical thing. It is only physical things that can be sensed by sense organs. If God could be sensed via an organ, he would not be God. What would be sensed would be a part of creation, not the creator. God is not in nature. He is prior to nature. He is the source of nature. And contra Coyne and Attenborough, God did endow us with an organ by which we may know him. He endowed us with reason. Alone among animals, human beings have the power of abstract thought, to contemplate ideas separated from concrete, particular, or sensible objects. We have intellect, by which we can understand immaterial knowledge, and will, by which we act on our abstract knowledge. Our capacity for reason is the organ God gave us to know him, and our will is the organ God gave us to love him. Reason is our divine sense organ. It is perfectly adapted to its task. It allows us to know and love our Creator. In this sense, we are created in his image. We have the capacity to know immaterial reality and to act on our knowledge. Atheists ask, where is our divine sense organ? When the very capacity by which they ask the question, their capacity for reason, is the sense organ they seek. This utter atheist idiocy helped lead me to God. What I found, when I looked at the arguments for and against his existence, is that the arguments against his existence were vapid nonsense. In this sense, I owe Coyne and Attenborough a debt of sorts. through arguments of this kind, where is our divine sense organ, the irrationality of atheism and the rationality of belief in God is made even more clear. One hopes that others are not misled by this manifest atheist nonsense, and that even Coyne and Attenborough may come in time to understand, not sense, the existence of the source of their capacity for reason. A few days later, Agnor continues his response to Coyne with this post. Professor Coyne, it seems, never evolved a divine sense organ, which he laments. Without a divine sense organ, Jerry Coyne cannot believe in God, though he doesn't lament that. Writing at Why Evolution is True, Coyne explains that because he cannot sense God, therefore God does not exist. Ironically, Coyne cites English broadcaster David Attenborough, a Darwinist who ought to be Coyne's ally, who is agnostic because he muses about a hive of termites. Darwinists are always thinking in terms of insects. The termites work busily, not noticing Attenborough observing them, because they lack the sense organs to see him. Attenborough won't commit to atheism because he thinks that his inability to see God may be termite-like. He's missing the organ, so he might as well keep his options open. Coyne thinks he's missing the same organ, but takes his evolutionary impasse as positive evidence of God's non-existence. If God exists, Coyne reasons, he would have evolved Coyne better. The irony of the whole thing is that Coyne's lament about his sensate inadequacy is itself the product of the capacity for reason, which is his actual divine sense organ. It was right under his nose, or above his nose, all the time. God is immaterial spirit, and we can only know him by reason and love him by will. Our senses alone aren't evolved to know or love immaterial reality. I pointed this out to Coyne with all the politeness I could muster, given the nature of the argument, and I suggested that Coyne might use his newly located reason organ more effectively. Coyne, still not using it effectively, replied, "There are many problems here. First of all, even if God is not a physical thing, nearly all Christians, the theistic ones, think that God interacts with the world in a physical way. After all, God sent his son/alter ego down to earth as a scapegoat to be killed for our sins, thereby expiating us. Ideas believe that God, the intelligent designer, either brought new species into being or made the requisite mutations to promote their appearance. Indeed, the very concept of intelligent design presupposes that empirical evidence, science and observation itself, inevitably brings us to the concept of an intelligent designer. And that evidence is sensed by sense organs. Well, God is indeed not physical, but he has physical effects in the world. In fact, most things in nature are his effects, excepting chance and evil. Chance isn't his effect because it is the undesigned conjunction of designed effects. And evil isn't his effect because it's the privation of his good, not a thing in itself. Even our free will is his effect, because he wills it to be free. This is all classical theology, to which Coyne's newly discovered reason organ is unaccustomed. We can infer God's existence by his effects in nature, just as we infer numbers in groups of things, or primordial singularity by cosmic background radiation, or evolution by the fossil record. Science infers immaterial things it can't see by inferring them from material things it can see. Abstract reasoning is the cornerstone of science, just as abstract reasoning is the cornerstone of theology and philosophy. All abstract knowledge, observed Aristotle, originates in the senses, but it is the unique hallmark of the human mind that we can abstract concepts from concrete perceptions. Our capacity for reason, our intellect, is the mark of our humanity, and the organ by which we know God. Coyne continues, "In other words, ID itself refutes Agnor's claim that God, the intelligent designer, cannot be sensed via an organ. The stupidity here, and I'm not pulling punches given that Agnor engages in name-calling, is to assume that a deity who is non-physical cannot be apprehended through sense organs. If you're a theist, that's palpably ridiculous. The design we infer in nature is an insight we abstract from our senses, but the inference itself is acquired by our reason. We infer design in nature by abstraction, not immediately by sense image. We see biological structures that have purpose and specified complexity, and using our capacity for abstract thought, we reason that such structures imply a designer. Coyne does the same process, except he reasons that purpose and specified complexity imply the absence of a designer. Go figure. Coyne meanders to the diversity of religious belief, and he muses, why, over time, has reason turned more and more of the West into atheists? After all, God gave this reason to each of us, and gave it to us specifically so we'd know him, or her, or whatever. Are some people lacking in this reason? And that includes people who seem to have plenty of reason on other fronts. Atheist intellectuals like Bertrand Russell, Stephen Hawking, Dan Dennett, Stephen Fry, Richard Dawkins, and so on. And David Attenborough lacks it too? Why did God give these people lots of ability to reason, but prevented that reason from apprehending his existence? Why are more and more people not using their organs of reason properly as time progresses? Well, reason can wax and wane, and I think we're in a period of wane. If you doubt this, ask Coyne, a 21st century atheist intellectual, to discuss Plato's Timaeus or Aristotle's Metaphysics, texts well known to teenagers in Athens in the 4th century BC, or Augustine's City of God, or Aquinas' Summa Theologica, read by parish priests in 15th century Siberia. Evolved or not, contemporary reason organs of late are missing the bus. Anyway, few people reason themselves out of or into belief in God. Reason provides a platform on which we stand, and reason may hinder us or help us to see. The heart has reasons, for atheists and theists, and it is in the heart, in the will, that God is cherished or scorned. As for atheism seeping into modernity, Coyne speaks only of the capitalist West. Most of humanity, in Asia and Africa, is in the midst of an explosion of theism, mostly Christianity and Islam. The eclipse of totalitarianism deprived atheism of its natural form of government, and it scurries to attach itself to any new body that will have it. The reasons for the atheist infestation, another insect analogy, in the West are debated. My hunch is that it is due to material and technological narcosis. In our opulence and our electronic cocoon, we live as atheists. A culture blind to God is like a drunk, dangerously oblivious to a cold night. That was Michael Agnor responding to evolutionary biologist Jerry Coyne at evolutionnews.org. You can access more episodes of the podcast at idthefuture.com or listen via your favorite podcasts app. I'm Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Be sure to join me again soon, and thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.